Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Doing a money talk show. Nice to see you, Tom.
It's great to see you too, John.
We were just talking off the air with you, me and Wendy, a friend of ours here. And she and I were saying we had to make our elections for our benefits at WGN Radio by the close of business yesterday. And I noticed there's a tab for my 401k contribution. What if you're not doing enough, or how much do you do there? How does that go?
Well, you should do hopefully as much as you can. The maximum contribution level, if you're under age 50, is $19,500. If you're over age 50, it's up to $26,000 that you can put in either a traditional 401k or, if you have the option, a Roth 401k. But that's the contribution limits.
And does the company then match that?
It might. And so, you know, if it does, those
that's
are questions.
To the discretion of the companies, right? Some do more, some do
some
less.
Some do zero, some do 3%, some do 5%. And so, you know, I would just say, one of the things that anyone should do that contributes to a 401k, number one, find out what your contribution is. I think a lot of people are not sure, not to be critical, but they say, well, it's 10%. And then, well, what is that amount? It's 10% of whatever your salary is. If you make $100,000, 10% is $10,000. So should you be increasing that? We're getting to the first of the year, so these are some good decisions to say, okay, I want to start, I want to hit the ground running. Ask what your match is. Understand what it is. What are you matching me? If they're matching 3%, again, if your income's $100,000, they're going to give you $3,000.
Well, the amount that you can put in, the limits that you just described, does that include the company's contribution
as well?
It does
not. That's your contribution, just your contribution.
And so, if you haven't maxed out and you think, oh, shoot, I should have been on that, can you make a contribution for 2021 and 2022?
Well, that's a great point. You have until the end of the year to max out your 401k. So, for example, I know we're down to the last month, but you could say today, you could call your 401k provider and say, keep my entire check, my next two checks for the rest of the year to try and max out my 401k. Because as of December 31st, if you have not hit that maximum amount, you start over. It's like you're starting over in January 1st.
What's the tax advantage to maximizing your 401k?
Well, when you contribute to a 401k, of course, it goes in pre-tax. And so that money comes right off your W-2. You do not pay tax on it this year. So that's what a tax benefit can be. Tax benefit can be, but also there's the Roth 401k option. That's another question you should ask when you call your 401k provider. Do I have a Roth option? Because now you can put the money in and it grows tax-free forever.
And the idea is to strategize so that when you think the taxes will be lowest for you, that's the money that you want to, I don't know the end of that
pay
sentence,
on the
Tom.
Seed, not on the harvest, right? So should I pay my tax today to never pay tax again? So there could be a balance. You can do 13 and 13. You don't have to do all, you know, all 26. So those
13
are some
of a Roth and 13 of a traditional.
Traditional, if it's an option.
But I thought you could. I thought if you didn't pay in time, you could still, after the first of the year, make contributions for the previous year.
You're thinking of IRAs, not 401ks. So an IRA, traditional or Roth IRA, you have until the filing date, which is April 15th, to make a contribution for the previous year.
And are there limits to IRA contributions?
There are. In fact, that's why these are called, technically, if you look them up in the IRS code, defined contributions. The contribution is defined, right? Unlike a pension, where the benefit is defined. So the contribution is $6,000 per person under age 50, $7,000 per person over age 50 to a Roth or traditional IRA. And you can do both, by the way. If you want to do a Roth IRA and a 401k, you can.
Are there tax advantages to an IRA that are different than a 401k?
Again, treated the same way from you can do the pre-tax, where you can take a deduction, which is the traditional IRA, or you can do the after-tax or tax-free Roth. It is not tax-deductible, but grows tax-free.
Does it matter which I put? Say I've only got $10,000, and I still have money to put in either, well, pool. Which should I put it in? Does it matter?
You mean the IRAs?
Or 401k.
Yeah. I mean, again, you made the comment earlier, John, you know, does it make sense? I'm looking at my taxes. Well, one of the questions I would say, do you think taxes are going to increase in the future? I don't know the answer. But if you do and you want to start to create more tax-free, because keep in mind, the tax rate on that those Roths are always 0%. I'm a big fan of that. So I think that's some planning you might want to incorporate.
Where does the money go if you put it in a 401k. It could be in any one of a number of investments, right?
Whatever the 401k provides, certainly. Yeah, any of the investment options that are available to you.
And are those usually graded like high risk, low risk, or long term, short term, something like that?
Yeah, usually they do categorize them. So let's say here's the growth. You have large cap, small cap, mid cap, international, and then you have the fixed ones that are mostly the bond options. So you can create that.
You're describing a 401k contribution 401k. Typically there. And then what is a typical IRA contribution?
Well, that's the thing with the IRAs. You can, if you have it, you could open an IRA at Fidelity, TD Ameritrade, Schwab within 10 minutes, go online. But you can own whatever you want. You want to own Apple stock, you want to own gold, you want to own cryptocurrencies. You have the whole world of investments at your hand, available to you in those types of accounts.
Do you have advice for people, generally speaking, on what they should be funding their IRAs with right now or their 401ks?
You mean what their investment options should be? Well, the answer is, and this is not a cop-out, it depends, right? I mean, if you're 2 years away from retirement, it would be different from someone who's, 20 years away from retirement where, that person would be more of a growth. If you're 35 years old, I would say you're 100% in equities, right?
But should you count the retirement date or your death date?
Not that you know, but right? Right. You bring up a great point. I mean, you still have to have growth. You still have to live. You still have all those expenses when you go into retirement, when the checks stop coming.
I've been saying this all year, Tom, but I'm thinking all the growth has been taken out of this market, and then it just keeps going up and up and up, right? I mean, so I guess you should stay in equities to the degree that you can, right?
Exactly. It's a comfort level, right? It's a fool's errand to say, I'm going to predict the market. And you made the comment, it does continue to go up. And so for those of that stayed on the sidelines, you have not been participating in this growth. So that's a comfort level to say, do I want to be 50-50, 60-40? That's really how you want to take a look at your portfolio.
Do you see things with this new Fed, with the Fed chairman getting reappointed, do you see things changing much? Inflation seems to be going up. What do you think is going to happen to interest rates and investments that way generally?
Well, I think there's been concern. It was like, be careful what you wish for. People were saying we want Jay Powell because we want this consistency. But now it's, he's going to start tapering. He may increase interest rates. I'm really in the camp that I don't see him doing a lot of that. I know they always say that. We've seen the 10-year move up to over 1.6. So it's a little concerning from that standpoint, because if interest rates, we painted ourselves into a corner here, but I don't really see. I think they're going to continue to be dovish. The Fed will. I think that's why we're seeing some of the reaction in the market now, like, they're going to start raising interest rates. They're going to start tapering. We'll see. I don't know if that'll be happening in the long term.
I wanted to ask you about some end of the year tax strategies and also what you thought about the reconciliation bill and what's in that. What does that mean to all of us? I'm out of time. Do you have a couple more minutes after the news here?
I do.
Tom Fortino from the Alpha Wealth Group is in our studio. We were talking a little while ago. We had some big picture things we wanted to talk about, but I kind of bogged the conversation down with talk about 401ks, Roth IRAs, IRAs. Are you amazed at how little I know about those things, Tom?
I think you know more than you're
No, that was me genuinely asking you questions I wasn't sure about, which maybe is informative for all of us, isn't it? We all know these concepts, but do we really know the details? Do we even know how much we put into all of these things? I'll bet a lot of us would flunk a test or not ace a test if it was put to us.
Well, it's tough. I mean, I want to be fair. We're busy with our lives. We're busy with all these things. And to really sit down and then follow the code, and then it's changing all the time. So you're right, though. I mean, there's a lot of rules, but we should be aware of them because it's just like anything, this game, this financial game, you got to know the rules to win the game. So it's important stuff to know. And I think once you get engaged and start doing it, it becomes infectious. So it's hopefully this is a call to action for some people to start checking into these vehicles and that are available to them, like their 401k plans or IRAs or whatever it may be.
And one last thing before I ask you about the reconciliation bill, and that is, any other tax tips or ideas for people since we're near the end of the year?
Well, this is really a critical time of the year. Number one, you have until the end of the year to do Roth conversion. So for those of you that want to move money, as the saying goes, from tax forever taxed to never taxed, you can do Roth conversions. In other words, you can move money from a traditional to a Roth where it grows tax-free.
But you'll pay tax.
You will pay tax
when
on
you
it.
Do it now.
Right.
And your guess is that the tax you'll pay now at whatever rate, whatever bracket, is going to be less than you think you'll pay down the road.
Well, that's part of it. You know, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act of 2017, it sunsets in 2026. So the tax rates are going to go back to where they were, maybe even higher than that. So, but the point is, again, just trying to minimize some of the tax exposure down the road. So, you know, if you miss, if December 31st comes and goes, you've missed an opportunity to start systematically repositioning money to tax-free. You can do a little bit this year. January or December 31st, you can move $10,000. On January 1st, you can move another $10,000. That's over 2 years. You spread it over 2 years, right? It's the same thing with if you want to sell a stock before the end of the year, right? If you have some of these stocks could be down. I know it's been a good year in the market, but if you end by some of these that are highs, like the Pelotons and the Zooms, and now they're down, or whatever it might be in your portfolio, you can sell them, or you can sell them for gains.
Maybe you saw Matt Phillips' story in the Times today. Investors hopped on Zoom and Peloton last year. What now?
Oh,
I wonder what you picked the two hot stocks, and really think about that. People knew of Zoom. Some people did Zoom. Pandemic hit. It was a household word. It was something everybody was doing. And the stock went through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And Peloton was the same. Boy, they've sure fallen back to earth now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a Peloton or Zoom for 2021 or 2022? I'm asking you to be a stock picker now, aren't I? But I don't know. Is there something that just seems so obviously popular that it's going to do well in the coming year?
Well, you know, I can't say if there's one particular stock. I think it was somewhat an anomaly that year because of what happened with these stay-at-home stocks, the coronavirus. You know, so, I mean, I'm always a fan of technology. I think, you know, that is not going away. You know, you look at some of them are pretty high priced, though, the NVIDIAs, the AMDs, because of this Meta. Right. So we can look at the metaverse that's coming to the fore. There might be some opportunities in that area.
Talk to me about the reconciliation bill. What is it? What do you like about it? What do you dislike about it?
Well, other than the 1700 pages that it's there, which I haven't read, and I think probably everybody who's voting on it hasn't read. But, you know, it's just this enormous bill that is going to change things dramatically in our lives. I would think, number one, we're looking at inflation, which was 6.2% in the last read. Now we're going to flood the market. You know, the infrastructure bill has been passed. That was 1.2. Now we're going to throw more money into the system, which I don't think is good. There's going to be increased tax rates, which, again, I think is going to affect the market. That's my opinion. These are not good. When you raise capital gains, when you raise the corporate tax rate, when you add regulations, adding more taxes on the individual, I just don't see that as being a good thing for the economy, our way of life, or the market.
Maybe I'm conflating things here, but it seems to me like a lot of the things that were earmarked for this money were good ideas, including bridges and roads, but also broadband. I would like to see early child care be subsidized by the federal government. Other countries do it, and we don't do a very good job of it here. So I think the money is being spent well, at least in some of those places.
Yeah, I mean, some of what you talked about is primarily, not all of it, is in that transportation. I'm sorry, the infrastructure bill that passed and was signed and now is law. So to be clear, the reconciliation bill has not passed. It's going to the Senate. And then it has to, they have to pass it. And then, of course, if they do. So we don't know if this is going to pass, you know, or what's going to happen with it. The other aspect of this that I will mention, too, is they're going to add 85,000 IRS agents. That's part of this bill, which I don't know if we asked for a show of hands, how many people would say, I'm all for that.
No, but ask for a different show of hands, how many people think that people who are dodging on their taxes should pay their taxes? That's what an IRS agent's going to do, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Are they going to do? What are they going to do? What's your worst-case scenario?
Well, the worst case is they're talking about there might be another million or 1.2 million additional audits. I know people have been audited. It's not fun, right? They will, you know, I've had one person spend an entire week with his accountant and then nothing was wrong. And the IRS agent basically just walked, you know, closed their briefing and said, well, good day, you know.
So it felt like harassment.
It is. And, you know, the other thing I think it's a misnomer. You know, 40%, the top 1% pay up to 20% of all income taxes. The top 10 pay you know, I think 70% of all the income taxes. So to say, I think there's obviously, in just in any case, there's some people that are not paying their taxes. But I think that's not the majority. There's more than half of the people in the United States pay zero federal income tax, none.
That's not a function of cheating, though. That's just a function of the tax code and the income level of those people.
Right. But I'm saying the higher income earners are paying most of the taxes by far.
Yeah.
So.
I believe they've said that the amount of money generated by these agents will offset the cost of the agents and then some. That it will be net positive. You're smiling.
Well, you know, I think to a certain extent, just like when they say we're going to increase tax rates so that'll create more revenue, it's under this pretense that, well, no one's going to change their habits. People are just going to gladly just do whatever they do and continue to pay money or pay the increased taxes. I just don't think that's a reality. And these, as we know, the government's typically not the best at their projections on revenue and paying their bills.
You are on Sunday morning at 6:30 to 7 with Lise Glink.
Yes.
You're talking, I guess, about more of these kinds of things, right?
We're covering everything from taxes to income planning to investments, everything.
Whatever your Sunday routine is, just put WGN Radio on. You can listen to it on a radio, which is a small thing that you plug into the wall. It might have the time on there. Or you can listen to it on your laptop or your phone or your device. However you listen to us, make sure you catch Tom's show 6:30 on Sunday morning. He's the principal at Alpha Wealth Group. Nice to see you, Tom.
Nice to see you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone.